Again, my name is Rosie Chang Weir. I'm the Director of Research at APCHO. I'm going to be talking to you about our Pacific Innovation Collaborative project. It's a health information exchange system, and I'll explain a little bit more about what I mean. And I also just passed out a brief information sheet about what our project is all about. I'd like to just acknowledge my co-authors, and I'm presenting on behalf of Heather Law, also, who unfortunately couldn't be here. Okay. So no relationships to disclose. I'll just start off by giving you a background about our project and go into the usual methods results discussion. Okay, so about APCHO, again, we stand for the Association of Asian Pacific Community Health Organizations. We're a nonprofit national umbrella association established in 87 with a mission to improve health status and access of Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and other Pacific Islanders. So we have a whole host of programs that try to achieve this. And we represent 28 community health organizations, most of which are federally qualified health centers funded by the Bureau of Primary Health Care that serve primarily these populations of interest. Okay, so about our Pacific Innovation Collaborative project, it's a health information exchange project funded by the Health Resources and Services Administration, Office of Health Information Technology. It uses interoperable information systems, electronic medical records, to collect and aggregate patient data in state and central repository systems with the goal of reducing health disparities by improving safety, quality, efficiency, and effectiveness of healthcare delivery. So let me tell you a little bit more about this. So as I mentioned, it's a data exchange and repository, health information exchange. So how it works is it's located in, we're working with two states in Hawaii and Washington with three health centers, Kali Palama Health Center and Waimanalo Health Center around the Honolulu area and Waianae Coast Comprehensive Health Center along the eastern or western coast of Hawaii, of Oahu, the island of Oahu, and then also with a health plan called Aloha Care. And then on the Washington side, we're working with the list of health centers you see there and also on the fact sheet. And then working with a health plan on that side as well, the Community Health Plan of Washington. So each state has a regional repository that collects data, clinical data, and such as, those are listed also on your fact sheet, about 10 clinical measures and an emergency room, visits and hospitalization measures as well, and also diabetes. So these were measures that were of primary interest to the health centers and health plans to be able to share to better coordinate care. There's two regional repositories in each state, and then they all feed into our central data repository, which is housed at our center in Oakland, California. I just wanted to note, this is all using electronic medical record data, and also we're using two electronic medical record platforms, NextGen and Centricity. So again, we collect a set of 10 performance measures, and they're reported onto a dashboard which gives individual and aggregate summaries to be able to view trends and conduct quality improvement and research. And this way, the health centers and health plans can exchange information for better care coordination. So for example, healthcare providers can log in. They have a login and password and see their patient information. They can get these reports sent to them, customized reports sent to them, as often as they'd like, daily, weekly, monthly. So they set that up. And they can see it in many forms with their health center and aggregate forms or whatever they set up. And then the health plans as well can get information, can log in and get information about the health centers. So this has been, really helpful in terms of being able to better coordinate care, especially between the health plans and the health centers. The health centers are really excited to get this emergency room data. The health plans are really excited to get the health center data, like the diabetes, the maternal care, et cetera. As I mentioned, you know, we started this project again to with the goal to improve quality and health disparities, and here are some that that are patients in Hawaii face. So, for example, diabetic retinopathy occurs in 43% of Native Hawaiians and almost 40% of Filipinos. End-stage renal disease, as a result of diabetes, occurs in these populations more than four times the rate in Caucasians or European Americans. And rates of diabetes for Native Hawaiians between the ages of 19 to 35 is about five times more than non-Hawaiians. And this is from the Department of Health and Hawaii data sets. And similarly, in Washington, you know, chronic diseases such as cancer, heart disease, stroke, diabetes are the largest contributors of ill health. And diabetes among adults has doubled in King County, where we have some health centers participating in this project in the last decade. So in this particular analysis, our objective was to just look at, to focus preliminarily on the diabetes outcomes and the hemoglobin A1C levels from 2007 to 2009. And just wanted to note, this analysis doesn't represent our entire network. It excludes data from one urban Hawaii center and two urban Washington centers. And again, these are only patients who belong to the two health plans within the states. So so the health centers were Waimanalo Health Center, Waianae Coast Comprehensive Health Center in Hawaii, and in Washington it was Country Doctor, Health Point, and Neighbor Care. Just wanted to note that including some of these health centers in these, you know, urban rural areas may have yielded different results. Okay, so for the sample, you know, the data was basically extracted from this health information exchange, this data dashboard that we have, and we looked at the percent of patients with either type 1 or type 2 diabetes with hemoglobin A1C levels, blood sugar levels greater than 9, and we used clinical measures that were, you know, tried to be consistent with federal standards, so these are the ones that we used for diabetes. So all patients are members of the Medicaid Managed Care Organizations in either Hawaii or Washington states. So total unduplicated patients we looked at here was about 2154, with a mean age of about 47. Gender was slightly, was more female, and then with a race of 22% white, 18% Native Hawaiian, 19% Asian, 15% Hispanic, Latino, 11% Black, and 10% other Pacific Islander. Breaking it out, as we always like to do, especially for our Asian American, Native Hawaiian, other Pacific Islander populations, because there's so many, you know, more than 100 ethnicities and over 50 languages within this whole pan-ethnic group. So we always like to break out the ethnic groups to have a better representation of the health disparities. So, you know, in terms of the ethnicities, about 5% were Samoan, 2% Filipino, 1% Micronesian. State-wise, 33% of the data was in Hawaii, 67% in Washington, and 33% urban in Hawaii and 67% urban in Washington. So, So we just did some, these are preliminary, so we just did some descriptive analyses looking at these different characteristics, age, gender, ethnicity, state, and urban versus rural area. Did some correlational analyses with the hemoglobin A1C value, as well as t-tests and chi-squares. So here first looking at all patients, the years on the bottom and the percentages represented on the left-hand side vertically, and then with the colors representing hemoglobin A1C greater than 9, 7 to 9, and less than 7. Again, these are HRSA or federal standards. And then we also needed to look at those that didn't take any hemoglobin A1C test. And so here we see that percentage of patients with hemoglobin A1C greater than 9 increased almost 18% in 2007 to just over 28% in 2009. Percentage of hemoglobin A1c tests with no hemoglobin A1c test decreased from about 38% to 17%, which is a good sign. In terms of age, tended to be highest in terms of hemoglobin A1c greater than 9 for the 40 to 49 age group, followed by the 50 to 59 age group. And that was 2007. Here in 2008, the highest hemoglobin A1c greater than 9 increased for patients in the 40s range. And then similarly, in 2009, actually it decreased for patients in the 40 to 49 age range, though rates still remain pretty high. I'll just briefly looking at race, percent of patients with hemoglobin A1c greater than 9 was about 6% for Native Hawaiian, almost 4% for other Pacific Islander. And Asians had the highest percent of no test at around 9%. For 2008, the Native Hawaiians with hemoglobin A1c greater than 9 was almost 7% for Native Hawaiians, and Native Hawaiians had the highest percent of no test at 4.3%. Looking at 2009, again, we see Native Hawaiians at a high rate of 7% for hemoglobin A1c greater than 9, other Pacific Islander almost 4%, and Native Hawaiians with the highest percent of no test at all at 5.8%. Just looking at ethnicity, so for percent of patients, again, with hemoglobin A1c greater than 9, it was about 6% for Native Hawaiians, almost 2.5% for Hispanic Latino, 2.4% for Samoan, and 2.3% for whites. Just briefly, again, we see a really high rate for Native Hawaiians here in 2008. And then in 2009, similarly, with a high rate for Native Hawaiians. And just to note that it increased dramatically for Native Hawaiians with percent of patients with hemoglobin A1c greater than 9, increasing from about 5.8% in 2007 to about 7.2% in 2009. Just looking at state, urban, and rural areas, we didn't find any significant changes for the rural Hawaii patients. The hemoglobin A1c levels changed dramatically for the urban Washington patients, with percent of patients with hemoglobin A1c greater than 9 increasing from about 11% to almost 18% from 2007 to 2009. However, the percent of patients who received a hemoglobin A1c test increased dramatically, which is what we hope to see. Okay, so just a brief summary. Percent of patients, again, with hemoglobin A1c greater than 9 increased from 18% to about 28% from 2007 to 2009. Patients ages 40 to 59 in the 40 age group had the highest hemoglobin A1c levels. Native Hawaiians experienced the largest increase in percent of patients with high hemoglobin A1c levels, increasing from about 6% to 7% from 2007 to 2009. No significant changes for rural Hawaii patients, and the hemoglobin A1c levels greatly increased for urban Washington patients. However, the percent of patients who received a hemoglobin A1c test increased dramatically. So just some quick implications. If we were to look at diabetes intervention programs for our health center networks, data would suggest preliminarily targeting the Native Hawaiian patients, especially in the 40 age range. Community health centers across the nation historically, do a great job, according to reports from NAC and other national centers, do a really great job in terms of reducing health disparities in general. But from this data, with Native Hawaiians, they're still showing a lot of disparities, especially in diabetes. And just looking at the profile, of these patients at our health centers in Hawaii, a lot of these patients are those with multiple comorbidities like diabetes, cardiovascular disease, they're in poverty, they're homeless or have substance abuse, you know, they're living on the really pretty coasts of the Hawaii beaches, but they're living in tents, they're homeless. So, you know, this gives us a better picture of, you know, why they're experiencing these health disparities. In terms of limitations, our Hawaii data, there's with our health centers, there are more Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and other Pacific Islanders, so there's more detailed ethnicity values than our Washington data. And unfortunately, our Washington health plan is not required to track the ethnicity data, and so we've been working with them to try and get them to track all of this. And with the High Tech Act and with the Affordable Care Act, just passed, health centers will be required to report this data. So this race, ethnicity, and language, as well as language data. So we're hoping to change this in the future. And then the analysis only includes patients from, again, 5 out of the 8 network health centers who belong to the 2 health plans. So we're hoping to expand this to look at the complete set of patients from the health centers, and not just the health plan Medicaid patients. So because of these, the findings may not be representative of all these health center patients. So it's just some of our next steps. We'd like to do a more complete analysis, compare a diabetes subpopulation. I mentioned the Native Hawaiian patients with all those multiple comorbidities and barriers to care, and so we're looking at actually a pay-for-performance demonstration project, which looks at how we can better improve care for these really high-risk patients by giving the health centers incentives for improving care for these high-risk diabetes patients. And also, you know, this health information exchange has been a great source for data. It's a great data repository to be able to conduct, you know, quality improvement for the health centers, and also research for quality improvements. Our next steps also are to build on this by integrating enabling services data. Those are services like interpretation, outreach, transportation that facilitate access to care for patients who have barriers to care. So we can look at the impact of these types of enabling services on health outcomes and emergency room utilization, et cetera. And also we plan to develop some decision tools, electronic medical record decision tools, to be able to help providers to better coordinate care. And also recently we were funded to, as a research node center for the Community Health Applied Research Network, funded by HRSA, to better improve research infrastructure for patient-centered outcomes research. And so, this database will be a great resource on which to build upon a lot of these studies to look more at health disparities. Lastly, just want to acknowledge our funder and all of our health centers who, worked really hard to collaborate with us on this project. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me, or any questions, I'd be happy to take now or whenever we're ready. So, thank you.